So this is a subtle point, but important one. And I heard it. I listened to a lot of podcasts this morning. I had to drive around and, you know, running errands and stuff. And the idea is that Harris should be very accessible to the press, probably from here to Election Day. She should be doing podcast interviews, calling in to radio talk shows, being interviewed by every conceivable outlet. She should certainly be on MSNBC, but that's not the important thing. They're getting plenty of Kamala. All right. So, but the thing is that it's still, I think this was on the Greg Sargent podcast was where I heard this, is that they felt that the thing that was keeping people from deciding to vote for her is that they just didn't know anything about her and they want change. This was another thing, is a real thirst for change. So I asked myself, what is it that they want change from? And I don't think that most of them could elaborate on that. I don't know. I just don't like the way things are going. Change everything. I want to change things. And I thought what that really means is they can't tell what's going on. Why? Because the way they decide what's going on is, how does the president sound? And the thing about Biden is that he's a throwback. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that it's a fact. It's not only that he's 81 years old, but that he came up in politics, I guess it was in the 60s, maybe the 70s, no later than the 70s. In other words, long before we were getting over-communicated to on the internet, right? Twitter, basically. And that opportunity has been there ever since, 1994, roughly that time frame. If you go back, look through my archives, since I'm always beating the drum, come on, use the frickin' internet. It's here, it's free, and it's empty. There's nobody in your world that's doing this. And I kept looking for signs that they would, and I finally thought we saw it with Obama, because, you know, but every election, they were doing a better and better job of using the internet. I mean, there was McCain. I don't remember what he did, but I remember writing about it and thinking, okay, this is good. And then there was Dean, and we thought, well, Dean, this is a breakthrough. This is it. He had a blog, and he was taking comments, and it was like always something was new there. I said, yes, he's got it. That's great. And then after that, there was Obama, and Obama really organized using the internet. The problem with Obama was he shut it down as soon as he got elected. That was it. He went back into the normal posture of a sitting president, which is a throwback. That's the problem. It's like, you know, once you win, now you go to be president. And that means you have a lot of meetings in the Oval Office, and you just don't have the time to do this. And people don't want to think that you have the time. Your advisors, every time you say, I think I want to go on the internet and post something here, your advisors say, no, 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 don't do that. You're much better off if you seem above it all. You're not in the fray, you're above the fray. Okay, so Mitt Romney comes along, runs against Obama. He's no more, probably less clued in than Obama. He loses, and then comes Trump. And Trump was the first Twitter president. And that's the thing he did. You know, you could say, does it matter that he's fascist, that he talks about killing immigrants? It could have just been easily been the other way. You know, it really probably doesn't matter, except for the fact that he grew up in a fascist household, in a Nazi household, in a anti-Semitic, anti-black, white all the way. You know, this stuff actually fits him because it's like where he was raised. But he also comes from New York, and he knows about the power of liberals, and he's always had to deal with it. And, you know, he was a Democrat for a long time, too. It could have been either way. The thing about it is that he understood, however he understood, it doesn't matter. He understood that creating a wave gets people to talk about you. This is what trolls do. Only he's bigger than a troll. As in, a troll hitches a ride on your flow, and he sticks his neck in there, and how does he get your attention? By saying something idiotic. And you know, even to this day, after I've been dealing with trolls now, I don't know, for a very long time, longer than almost anybody, really. Even to this day, I feel like I'm going to set this guy straight. And I stop myself and ask myself, why are you going to set this guy straight? And then what are the odds that this is anything other than a troll who has tried to provoke you? Why? Because you have more followers than he does. If you didn't have more followers than he does, then he wouldn't be trolling you. He'd be trolling somebody else. But notice that Trump doesn't have to do that, or he can't do that. Why? Because nobody has more followers than he does. So what he does is he says, you know, there are fine people on both sides, or I'm going to kill all my opponents, or lock her up, or, you know, Putin, you'll be rewarded if you leak the emails, blah, 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 on and on and on and on, right? So what do they want change from? They have no sense that Biden is even president. They don't get it. What is Biden? I never hear anything from him. He doesn't tweet. They're never talking about on journalism about the latest thing that he said. He's not doing anything. We need a change because we need somebody who's doing something. How will they know they're doing something? Because we're talking about them. It's really, goddamn it, it's just that simple. It's just that simple. Plus, there's the huge advantage. If you keep your base organized, you're not talking about, she's going to have a strong 50% plus voters, right? So I don't know how many millions of people that is, a huge number of people. Well, 99% of those people, you know, they're reachable, but, you know, reaching them means that maybe you get them to vote for you. But then there's like a core 5%, 2% or whatever who will really go to work for you when you ask them to work for you. Problem with Democrats, including Obama and Biden, is they never ask us to do anything. They never include us in the story. Maybe they give a speech from the Oval Office or from somewhere, one of those, you know, podium, all the different kinds of podiums they have. They have the Rose Garden, they have the Oval Office, they have, I don't know, Congress, yada, 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 right? That's not the same thing as showing up on Twitter or whatever else. I love the fact, by the way, that we're getting all these new Twitters. It's finally clicked for me that tying them together is going to be really interesting, and we're going to do it because none of them are going to be big enough, my humble opinion, to feel like they get to dominate. That was the problem with Twitter. Twitter's problem wasn't that they needed to get more users. I mean, I'm not talking about for advertisers and for the stock price and shit like that. I'm talking about like just in terms of managing community and having critical mass. They don't have to do anything. They never had to do anything about it. They had it from the first day, the first tweet that went out, they had it. But it's not like that anymore. You've got some real contenders and they've stayed with it. You've got Blue Sky, you've got Mastodon, you've got Threads, you've got Nostri. Notice that with the Brazil shut off Twitter. And Brazil's a huge country, by the way. You know, South America, so we don't necessarily think about Brazil or South American countries that much. I have to look it up to see what their population is. But it's a very large country. It's one of the BRIC countries. Brazil, Russia, India, China. No, not China. Something, not Cambodia either. I don't know. Is there even still a Cambodia? I'm not sure. That probably isn't. There used to be. I'm not sure what China, what C stand. Maybe it is China. It can't be. China is a superpower, just like the U.S. is. Well, we'll figure that one out later. Well, I'll look it up. So, please, here's the deal. If I'm within earshot of Vice President, soon to be President Harris. First of all, you're limiting your exposure, and it's not good to do that. Don't do it. Overexpose. What that will say to the voters who are sitting around is that, yeah, you're getting change. Just talk about change. Use the word change. I hate being so cynical, but the truth is you are going to change things. You know what the big change is going to be? I'm going to now bang my fist on the desk. No Trump! That's it, no Trump! You think they're going to let him run a fourth time? I don't think so. If he doesn't win this election, I think that we will have jumped the Trump. Kind of like that. It's pretty cool. Jump the Trump. I think that's going to be the title of... No, it isn't. That's not what it's about. That's all. Anyway, so yeah, what Biden did, Biden never promoted himself. He's to be excused. He's uncomfortable. He's not a great speaker. It's only gotten worse. I mean, now it's, you know, he's a disaster now. And so that, you know, you can understand he knew that he was fragile and he came off as fragile. But Kamala, well, if she can't do that, if she can't get through that, then we got a big problem, folks. But she can do it. She looks great. She talks great, especially like if she doesn't have to say a whole lot, and she's in which she shouldn't, she just should basically say, "Hey, I'm Kamala. I'm Kamala, and you're gonna love hanging out with me because I don't know, I'm fun. I'm your fun aunt, auntie. I swear she's really good. She's got the rhythm. She's like." She's almost like a rapper, you know, but as a politician interpretation of a rapper. She's great. We were really blessed to have her. Now, please, let's run the last mile. Okay, folks, that's it. That's my podcast for today. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.